Well, good morning and welcome to Fellowship. It's September 13th, a week after our wonderful snowstorm. Or almost a week anyway. So, Diane, why don't you start?
Well, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great love for us. And thank you that we can walk and talk with you personally on a moment-by-moment basis, knowing that you are ever-present in our lives. And we just welcome you to be in our lives always. And Father, I thank you so much for how you protect us, watch over us, provide for us. Continue to lead us in a good way so that we can live the more than abundant life that your Son made available to us. Watch over our country, Father, and heal our land. Continue to open the eyes of the understanding of the American people in particular, and continue to expose truth so people can see it clearly and they choose you. They choose godliness and goodness, and they shun evil. Watch over our children, Father. Raise them up to become the men and women you've called them to be, and that they stand faithful with you in their day and time. Bless our president, our vice president, and their families. Give them great strength and wisdom and courage to stand against all the forces of evil that are trying to take them out. And I command now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that all the evil the devil's trying to do right now fails. And those people who are trying to carry out such evil, they fall into their own traps. And everything they're trying to do to us boomerangs back on them. And they get the recompense for their evil deeds. And Father, again, watch over us, protect us, protect our president, protect our constitutional rights. Keep this country sovereign and a constitutional republic. Father, give us a fair and honest election coming up, and stop the evil forces in our country from fraudulently stealing an election. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go to Acts chapter 17. So in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, and it said, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men." It's talking about God made one blood all nations. Basically, what this is saying is we are all one race. There is only one race of people. The world will say, well, you have Asians as one race, you have Africans as another race, you have Caucasians as a race, you know, and so on, so on. And God says, you know, hey, there's only one race. So we'll keep that in mind. I'll get more back to that later. Let's go. I'm going to read this out of the Message translation. Let's go to Acts chapter 21 and 21 verse 20. Now here Paul went to Jerusalem and he met with James and some of the other people there, and they had a verse 21 or chapter 21 verse 20, and they had a story to tell too. And just look at what's happening here. Thousands and thousands, thousands upon thousands of God-fearing Jews have become believers in Jesus. But there's a problem, because they are more zealous than ever in observing the laws of Moses. And they have been told that you advise believing Jews who live surrounded by unbelieving outsiders to go light on Moses, and telling them they don't need to be circumcised or their children to keep up the old traditions, and that isn't sitting well with them. So basically there was, in the first century, there was a division between, there was two major groups of believers. There was the people that were of the background of Judean, children of Israel, and there was people that were by background Gentiles. And we know that starting with the day of Pentecost, people are no longer saved by doing the Old Testament law. And the Jews did believe in Jesus, but they wanted to keep doing the Old Testament law. So let's go to chapter 23. I'm going to read this one from the Message as well. 23, we'll start in verse 12. The next day, now what had happened is Paul, they were so upset that the legalistic Judean believers were so upset with Paul that they formulated a plot where they wanted to kill him. And so that's what it's talking about here in 23 verse 12. The next day, the Jews worked up a plot against Paul. They took a solemn oath that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed him. More than 40 people took this oath. So he had more than 40 assassins coming after him that wouldn't eat or drink until Paul was dead. And they presented themselves to the high priests and religious leaders. We bound ourselves by a solemn oath to eat nothing until we have killed Paul, but we need your help. Send a request to the council and the captain to bring Paul back so that you can investigate the charges in more detail. We'll do the rest. Before he gets anywhere near you, we'll have him killed. We'll have killed him, and you won't be involved. See, the religious leaders were willing to murder Paul. That's how corrupt the religion was in Jerusalem. That the people wanted Paul dead, and the religious leaders wanted Paul dead. Just because, basically, there was two groups of people. There was one group in Jerusalem who were one ethnic background, Judean, who hated and didn't accept as equal Christians, the Gentile believers. They looked down their nose at them like, at best, they thought they were second-rate Christians. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. So what does God say about the two groups? So Ephesians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the administration of grace which was given to me to you word, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Now this fact that the Gentiles and the Christians were equal was a mystery. The reason it was a mystery, it was hidden. And God never alluded that the Gentiles would be equal in the Old Testament. So verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, that other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And verse 6 tells us what it is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ in the gospel. We're equal. There aren't no first-rate Christians and second-rate Christians. They're all equal. And the believers at Jerusalem were unwilling to accept this fact. They were so unwilling that they were willing, they wanted to murder Paul. You know, it was over 40 of them that were willing to do this. And you know, if there was a lot more that wanted them dead. And the religious leaders were assisting them. Now, if they were really a genuine church leader, they would say, well, no, you can't murder Paul. He's an apostle. Murder is a crime. It's evil. So, why am I bringing this stuff up? Well, this is 2020, the year the entire world went bat poop crazy. You know, and it's like I saw a thing on Facebook a while ago, and it says, it was a Sesame Street type thing. 2020, brought to you by the letters W, T, and F. And because there's something that's been going on for about 20 years, and it's called critical race theory. And basically, they're trying to redefine what racism is. It's like the Judean believers in the book of Acts wanted to redefine what Christianity was. They wanted to make it that, well, we're God's people, and we get born again, we're better than when Gentile believers get born again. Well, critical race theory, they want to redefine racism. They rewrite redefine what white supremacy is. And so according to them, if you're on, you get to work on time, you're a white supremacist. If you are in schedule things, and if you work hard and you're disciplined at your job, that is, you are a white supremacist. If you are into patriotism, it's like we recently took a vacation. We went up to Mount Rushmore, and they say Mount Rushmore is a monument to white supremacists. Well, we were at Mount Rushmore a few weeks ago, and we looked at that, and it's like, well, wait a minute, that's Abraham Lincoln's carving there. Abraham Lincoln literally freed the slaves. Abraham Lincoln literally got assassinated for freeing the slaves. That is about as far from being a white supremacist as you can possibly get. But see, that facts don't matter. They want to redefine the facts. And we're taught that this country started in 1776. Well, the critical race theory people teach the country was taught in 1619, which is when the first slaves were brought to America.
The first black slaves.
Yeah.
African slaves.
Actually, the first slaves in America were Irish children that were enslaved, but they don't tell us that. And then they also, critical race theory will teach that being white is racist. If you're white, you can't help but be racist. And if you're white, you own property just by being white that makes you have more things than people of color have. And it goes on. And one of the things, now, it's I've seen with these Antifa and these BLM riots that they've vandalized a statue of one of my heroes, Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass was one of the first black senators. They also vandalized the memorial to the black army division that was fought in the Civil War to free slaves. So what's up with all this stuff? Well, it's the same thing we had going on in Acts chapter 10. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. I could give you more examples, but it would just become redundant. But basically what it is the devil's always trying to split people up into small groups and pit them against each other. That's what the devil does. And here in Acts chapter 10, it's a great record of Cornelius. Cornelius was not a Jew. He was an Italian or a Roman centurion. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. You know, they played their accordion and all that stuff, and they did this.
It's always got to go to a joke.
Yeah, corny. Well, at least it's a corny joke.
Oh, for Cornelius?
Yeah, Cornelius, a corny joke, yes.
Cornelius joke, okay.
And verse 2, he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he had a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, and the angel of God coming unto him and saying, Cornelius. And he looked on him, and he was kind of a little concerned, amazed. And he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up before God with as a memorial before God. Now send a man to Joppa, send men to Joppa for one Simon whose surname is Peter." And he's staying with this guy Simon, who's a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. Is there a song, By the Seaside? And I think that's one of the songs the Italian band played. Okay. All right. "And he shall tell you what you oughtest to do." And the angel spake, and when the angel spake unto Cornelius, departed, he called the men and he sent them, and so on, so on. And when they declared these things unto them, when he sent them to Joppa, verse 9, "And on the morrow they went on their journey, and they drew near unto the city, and Peter was up on the housetop." It was he would go up there a few times a day and pray. And it was about the sixth hour, and which is about noon our time. And when he became very hungry, he would have eaten, but when he made ready, instead he had a vision, and he saw heaven and a certain vessel descending unto him, which had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, let down the earth, and all manner of four-footed beasts, and it's all this stuff, and fowls of the air, and blah, blah, blah. And there came a voice that said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter's thinking, "Wait a minute, I see pigs in there, I see shrimp, all that stuff we're not supposed to eat." Said, "I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again a second time. Said, "What God hath cleansed, call thou not common." And it was done three times, and taken up into heaven. And then Peter's doubting on the vision, and right about that time the guys show up, and then he goes to Cornelius's place, and he leads Cornelius and his household into the new birth, and they all speak in tongues. Why did God show him this vision? Well, see, the Jews again believed the Gentiles were, they basically looked at them like they were dogs, they weren't even human. And yet the Gentile here, him and his whole household got born again. They were joined, they had the same thing that the Jews had. In fact, this was such a big deal, they got together and the leaders of the church said, "Well, wait a minute, these guys speak in tongues the same way we do. Are they equal to us, or what's going on with this?" And again, the children of Israel were too short-sighted. They still thought they were God's chosen people, and that people out that weren't Judean or Jewish or Israelites or however you want to say it, that they weren't good enough to be born again. But we know, actually I'm going to go to a verse I didn't even plan on going to. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Wherefore, verse 11, "Wherefore remember that at that time ye," talking of ye means is Old English for you, plural. So all of us, that time we were Gentiles in the flesh. We were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. And verse 12, "In that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, being strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ." And so on, so on, so on. And basically, it's verse 18, "Through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Both Gentiles and Christians have full access unto God.
Well, actually, go read verse 19 too. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God."
I remember there was one ministry I used to belong to that they would say that if you don't belong to our ministry, then you're not a part of the household, you're just in the family and you're second rate. You see, people are always trying to make somebody else be second. Again, like I was saying before, the devil wants to split us up into small groups and pit us against each other. But Christians are Christians. If you're born again, you know, it's like somebody that's an apostle has been serving the body of Christ for 60, 70 years, has the same amount of spirit as somebody that got born again this morning. And God looks at them both equally important. And God, we're all equal. And it doesn't matter what part of the world we come from, what ethnic background our ancestors were from, and all that stuff doesn't matter. What matters is, like it said in Acts chapter 17, he's made of one race, all people. We all have the same blood flowing in our veins.
It even says all nations.
Yeah, all nations. Yeah, I mean, we're all, God put the humans on earth so that we could get born again, not so that we could fight and scrap amongst each other because we belong to a different political party or a different ethnic background or all that stuff. But all that stuff, it comes from the devil. And it's like, again, this world is crazy this year, because we saw on the news last night that two Los Angeles police officers were shot. Somebody just came up to the car and drew a gun on him and tried to assassinate him. And they weren't killed immediately. They were rushed to the hospital. And so then what's happening now in Los Angeles, people go to the hospital and they're chanting, you know, that the police officers effing F-word die. We want you to F-word die. And you see people chanting, some of the far left groups will chant to hell with Jesus or hail Satan. And it's a crazy world we live in these days. But we have to remember this world is not our home. We're just passing through, and God will take care of us, and we need to work together instead of work against each other. You know, we all come from, you know, different backgrounds and different things. And but the thing is all the what matters, you know, the Apostle Paul listed all his qualifications. He said, but, you know, I look at that stuff and like it's all a big pile of manure. He said, what matters is that I'm born again. And that's what matters with us. And we, you know, we have each other and we have God. And getting close to the end here, we're going to have a meal here. We're going to eat out on our, cook out burgers on the grill and eat on our patio. It's a nice day here. It's like probably upper 70s right now, so it should be a real nice day to be out in the shade and eat and everything. And you know, if people have something, you know, we do this once a month, but if people have other things you want to call, you know, feel free to call us. We're here to help people, and you know, we're not doing this to get rich. We actually lose money doing this, so that's the way it works. But we are into helping people, and we are into speaking the truth. And in this crazy year, people need to stand together, and we need to stand on the truth. The Word of God lives and abides forever. He set one standard in the Bible, and it's but the devil's always changing things, because he's always, you know, it's like, well, this week we got 10 genders. Next week there's 310. And then the week after that, oh, there's 1,000 now. It's like this. Oh, now this word is okay. Now this word isn't okay. It's like.
And who determines it?
Well, yeah, people. Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Wasn't it in the Old Testament, one of the prophets said something about, "Oh, I wish mine enemy." Wasn't it Job? Oh, I wish mine enemy had written a book. Basically, yeah. Saying what he does. Jesus Christ did expose the devil, though.
Yeah.
And. So we just need to continue to stand on the truth and not worry about what people think about us and pick our battles, I guess, and Just know that God's still in control of our lives and the world. Well, in control of us, anyway. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world.
Well, anyway, let's have a prayer, and let's we'll bless the food, and we're going to have some meal here. And sorry, you people on Zoom can't join in on the hamburgers and
yeah,
so forth. But yeah. Yeah. Well, you can cook your own hamburger and enjoy your meal or whatever you want to have for lunch. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you that you are a fair God and that you love us all equally, regardless of what background we come from or what our ethnic background or what our politics are or whatever. You don't care about all that stuff. You just love us. And Father, just remind our brothers and sisters in Christ that what matters is having direct access to the one true God. That's really what this is all about. And that's the most foundational truth of all the foundational truths. And Father, thanks for blessing the food. And everybody have a great week. And we'll see you sometime soon.
God bless. God bless.
Amen.
God bless. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.